Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Oliver Friesen, CEO of Golden Metal Resources. Welcome back, Oliver.
How are you guys doing? It seems like we're chatting every week now almost.
Well, you should stop releasing news as frequently then.
I guess it's a good problem to have, isn't it?
It is. It is. Never quite known as a company with as much significant news. So obviously we're alluding to the recent news where you made the headlines with groundbreaking findings at the Garfield project in Nevada. The company's official statement has revealed astonishing bonanza grades in the project update. These grades are nothing short of remarkable, with measurements reaching up to 1,225 grams per ton of silver, including 18.35 grams per ton of gold and a substantial 1.89% copper. This revelation goes beyond mere numbers. It signifies a potential game changer in the mining industry. Golden Metal Resources believes that these findings confirm the existence of significant porphyry and epithermal potential in the area, setting the stage for a new era of exploration. Oliver, you expressed the significance of these results and highlighted the transition from high-grade copper, gold, silver findings across a large footprint to a multi-layered geological data set that strongly indicates the presence of a substantial porphyry-style system driving mineralization throughout the project. You also emphasize that the next logical step in exploring porphyry deposits is to search for a geophysical anomaly representing the porphyry center at depth. To your excitement, this anomaly was identified by a third-party survey and coincides with the high-grade zone, which overlaps with the uranium target detected during the same exploration program. With these transformative findings in hand, GMET is swiftly progressing towards determining the optimal next steps for exploration. The company is determined to propel this incredibly promising project forward, building on the momentum generated by these groundbreaking results. Sounds very promising, Oliver.
Yeah, that was quite a mouthful there, Phil. I'm impressed you got that on the first try. But yeah, there's a lot of detail to unpack there and a lot of technical detail as well, which is pretty in line with the releases that we put out. But I encourage listeners, before we get into the interview here, to pull up the technical overview that I recorded to coincide and go along with the release, which I think provides a lot more detail about what some of those terms mean and most importantly, why they're so significant for the development of Garfield.
Well, Oliver, 1,225 grams per ton of silver is quite a lot.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the funny thing is, Jensen, I know we've discussed this on some of the previous recordings. It was about kind of the typical grades that you find in a porphyry system. You know, we're talking 0.5% copper, maybe up to, you know, 0.3, 0.4 gram per ton gold. And if you're lucky in these porphyry systems, you know, we're talking about 2, 3, 4 gram per ton silver. So we started to get some results back. I mean, the copper grades were consistent with a higher grade porphyry, but all of a sudden the gold and the silver started to come in there. And, you know, like I said, up to 1,225 gram per ton silver. That is just unheard of in these type of systems. So we were scratching our heads a little bit going, why is the gold and the silver so high? I mean, that's obviously a very good problem to have. But ultimately what we determined based on some pretty complex geochemical analysis was that it looks like there's a later overprinting epithermal style system. So we have the original emplacement of the porphyry, which is driving that very large copper footprint. And then at some later geological date, an epithermal system was ripping through there and deposited and remobilized into some pretty high-grade gold and silver results. So overall, very exciting technical development. And it's obviously very much materially increased the prospectivity of the gold and the silver, specifically this epithermal finding.
Yeah, even in this situation where you have 18.35 grams per ton of gold is pretty epic as well. Now, obviously, this is only rock chips at this stage in terms of sampling. But as you said, it seems to be a magnetic bullseye anomaly. I mean, you've basically hit the center of it, I think, by the looks of things. Do you want to say any more on that?
Yeah, so it's a good point. And obviously, you know, rock samples at surface are great, but what everyone really wants to know about is, okay, what's in the subsurface? What lies below? And that's our next question, right? First thing you need to do as an exploration team is you need to confirm a surface copper, gold, silver mineralization, ideally high grade and ideally over a large footprint, which is what we've done. But now the question then turns to, okay, where is all this fluid and all this mineral coming from? It's coming from somewhere at depth, and that's where the real prize potentially awaits. And to our excitement, actually, a third party who owns some claims adjacent to us to the southwest actually ended up flying a survey quite recently, an airborne radiometrics and magnetic survey. And that covered a southern portion of our claims, including a chunk of the high-grade zone. And sure enough, pretty much nicely tucked into the corner of our property as a bullseye magnetic anomaly, which could represent that exact porphyry that we are looking for, which is driving all the fluid flow and mineralization. So now we've gone from, hey, we've got some really exciting, you know, smoke at surface to, hey, potentially here is a location of the possible source, and it's fully on our ground, and it wouldn't be too deep either. So adding a lot of value here, but more importantly, technically progressing things and getting a better understanding as to what potentially lies at depth here now, which is what the question everyone's asking now, and including myself.
So what sort of timescales would you be looking at to start drilling this?
Yeah, so what we do now is with this data in hand, and truthfully, the airborne magnetic data we got, we became aware of this data set only a few days ago. So we're frantically working in the background with our team to kind of tie everything together. The great thing about Garfield is it's fully located on what's called BM ground, which stands for the Bureau of Land Management. So permitting on this type of ground for drilling is very straightforward. It only takes, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. So it's very, very easy process to go through. So where we're at now is we're working through all these different data sets, trying to figure out exactly what we need to do here to get this to the drill ready stage. We are very close, potentially with the data we have in hand. You know, once we put everything together, we'll know, have a better steer as to what the next steps are going to be. But either way, we're getting really close here. The permitting is going to be really straightforward. So it continues to get more and more exciting, this asset.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, obviously, you've got the gold and silver scores here. But, you know, 1.89%, 0.42, 0.28, 0.24, 0.74% copper in the various samples is tremendous porphyry copper rates.
Yeah, and the exciting thing about specifically the high-grade zone is we have, you know, greater than 1% copper over about a 1.5-kilometer area. And that's pretty consistent, too. I encourage listeners to go and have a look at some of the maps that we published, which I think very clearly shows that there's consistent high-grade copper across this very large footprint. So it's very high-grade copper, and now we got the exciting gold silver kickers as well with that epithermal style mineralization. So it's really coming together. I know I sound like a bit of a broken record, but it continues to deliver, and that truly is the case. And now with that magnetic bullseye anomaly and that other data set that we've acquired, it gets us much closer to our goal here, figuring out exactly what the real value could be here and what the prospectivity looks like in the subsurface.
And just talk us through, because obviously in the RNS you alluded to the magnetic bullseye or the bullseye, and also the uranium element of things, and we've obviously seen uranium prices on the rise. They broke through the $100 mark, and there's potential for them to, they're talking about them may rise to like 140. I think it's a 16-year high. Just talk us how significant that finding is, and were you surprised to find that?
Yeah, I mean, I was also surprised with that one, mainly because, you know, you typically don't find uranium or high-grade uranium in these systems. And what we have right now, just to be clear, is the adjacent company is actually, it's a uranium-focused junior, and the property next to us is actually a uranium property. And so they, in that survey, when they flew over our ground and did some soil sampling as well, one of the targets that they identified effectively fully falls within our claim boundary. So, you know, as I mentioned, all of this data coming in is only about a few days old here. So we're really trying to put all the data sets together into our systems. We're having, you know, kind of continual meetings here to really unwrap and understand what the overall potential is here and where we go from here, but also how the uranium fits in as well. So either way, it's another kind of feather in the cap of this exciting project. And certainly the focal point here remains the copper, silver, and gold, but not a bad kicker to have, and something that we're going to look into and figure out what the next steps could look like there as well.
Yeah. And would that be the neighboring project? Is that Kraken? Because there was a Kraken Energy announced exploration development program, I think, which was due in Q1. And I believe that's on the Garfield, or that's named the Garfield. Does that border onto the same asset?
That's correct. Yeah. So they are our neighbors to the southwest, and they're actually, they were recently drilling not too long ago drilled some nice uranium results on the property next to us. So there's certainly a uranium district or play there as well, which kind of coincides or overlaps with our porphyry copper stuff. So like I said, new developments on that front. So we're just trying to understand what it all means. And like I said, it's certainly not a bad problem to have to try to figure out where this uranium is potentially coming from.
Your bullseye and also the uranium target seem to slip out of your staked property. So is it possible that you can stake further around this?
No, so that is ground owned by another company. So no, that's the extent of our property. But if I encourage everyone to have a look at the map, because it shows that effectively the vast majority of both of those targets are fully within our claim boundary. And the reality is a lot of, you know, as you go north from the high grade zone, we'll need, we don't have the magnetic results there. So this is based on the work that they done, and we found the one bullseye. There could be multiple feeding mineralization here at the high grade zone, but with the data set that they acquired. And it's great because it's free data for us. We don't have to pay for it at all. It's just something we can digitize and we can start to unravel. But the ones that we've identified so far are the vast majority is on our ground. So we're very happy about that. And there could be potential other targets on the high grade zone on ground, 100% owned by us.
Yeah. No, the magnetic bullseye, literally, there's just a little, almost like nose piece that goes out. And the uranium target, maybe 15% of the bottom. Looks like a tooth, actually, doesn't it? The uranium one.
Yeah.
The little bottom part is not in there. But anyway, we're moving forward at rapid pace. You know, uranium could be an issue. You can maybe, as you have collective knowledge of uranium, this could be a UEE play out of Power Metals as well, as Power Metals will have ownership of both of them.
Yeah, and like I said, the uranium anomaly there on our property, it's a new development. So we'll have to dig into that to really understand the potential. But the focal point is certainly the copper porphyry, copper, silver, gold porphyry, but a nice little kicker there. So we'll certainly have some further work done over that target and continue to push along the rest of the main targets as well.
So my last question, is Garfield fast becoming the major issue here? And obviously the tungsten's wonderful, but the very size of this Garfield play seems to be not necessarily overtaking it, but it's certainly comparable.
Yeah, so the way that I view this, and I've certainly been getting that question, I mean, it is, Pilot Mountain is still our flagship asset and remains our flagship asset. The reality is, though, with Pilot Mountain, with some of the conversations and things that we're pushing forward, which we have expressed to the market, including potential, you know, government grant funding, these conversations, you know, they don't happen overnight. They can take a bit of time. You know, all the data points coming in about the, you know, United States ammunition stockpiles critically low, the fact that, you know, there's no domestic primary production of tungsten. We own the largest tungsten asset. I mean, this is, I truly believe that this will be the main value driver for our share price going forward here, and just based on those data points. But like I said, you know, we've been really fortunate to be able to do some work on Garfield sort of in the meantime almost, and it continues to deliver and deliver and deliver. And the reality is, you know, we could eventually drill Garfield and make a discovery there. And you are right, in that case, it could very much overtake. But as it stands now, Pilot Mountain is our focal point. But like I said, some of those conversations and angles that we're pushing forward just take a bit of time. They don't happen overnight. So it gives us a very strong 1-2 punch here. And hopefully we'll have some further updates on Pilot Mountain in the near future here. But we're going to continue to push Garfield forward in tandem and give you know, our investors access to, like I said, a really fantastic 1-2 punch here. And we'll see ultimately at the end of the year or in 2 years, what is the ultimate value driver. And if it's both of them, that's a good problem to have. But either way, they both look fantastic. They're both, you know, very critical right now in the U.S. specifically. So a good problem to have as a CEO.
Yeah. I think that the buzzword to take on from the announcement is bonanza. And the dictionary definition is a situation which creates a sudden increase in wealth, good fortune, or profit. So let's hope that that is truly delivered as you go forward and progress these projects. So Oliver Friesen, CEO of Golden Metal Resources, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks again, guys. Chat soon.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.